Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Here you go, hour two. It is great to have you here. We are live in Los Angeles, the home of winners, baby. Only winners here.
Oh, I thought you said the home of winters. I was like, it's like 80 degrees out. Yes, home of winners, for sure.
Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, Fox Sports Radio and FS1 right here. We don't have winner, and we have only winners.
That was a fun game last night.
It was. Dodgers, Mookie Betts, and Bellinger. And when Betts plays well, Bellinger hits home runs, and Clayton Kershaw pitches well, lights out.
I love the NBA and the NBA playoffs, and obviously the NFL playoffs are incredible.
Yeah.
But, like, there's something about postseason baseball.
Oh, it's not even the same. I was sitting there last night having a cocktail, watching by myself, and I'm like, playoff baseball and regular season baseball are two different sports. They're two totally different sports.
It's wild. Like, the energy, it's like tension.
Yes. Like, the Dodgers, it was like the Rays had the bases full, and they were down, like, 8-3, and you're like, this Dodger bullpen stinks. Oh, my, one shot in this thing. I mean, like, it's tension. So I got to say this. I've always said this about real estate agents. Take out their best year and their worst year. That's who they are. If you take out quarterbacks, real estate agents, any real estate agent could have a big year. They sell a mansion. And they could also have a bad year. They get sick. Their mom gets sick. They got to take care of business. Their kids. I mean, COVID. You know, nobody buying a house, right? I feel the same with quarterbacks. Take out Matt Ryan's rookie year and his MVP year. That's what he is, which is B. He was never that good. You take out Aaron Rodgers' MVP year and his rookie year, he's still a Hall of Famer. Everybody can be great and everybody can struggle. What are you? If you take out Baker Mayfield's games against the Cincinnati Bengals the last 3 years, the worst defense historically in the history of the league, two of those years, right? Here's his numbers as an NFL quarterback. Passer rating 83, 47 TDs, 35 picks, 12 and 18. Mary Kay Cabot pointed this out today. Excellent reporter in Cleveland, has been for over a decade. He's 4-1 against the Bengals. 25% of his career wins are against Cincinnati. He's playing them again this weekend. He's going to play the Bengals, Raiders, Texans next 3 weeks. Lousy defenses. I'm sure he'll be fine. But let me ask you this. As a number one pick, what's special? Arm? No. Accuracy? No. Size? No. Athleticism? No. You got to give me special. Lamar can be a number one pick. Oh, my Lord. Big Ben. They call him Big Ben, his size. Number one pick. Josh Allen. Mahomes' arm. To be a number one pick, you got to. There's something I'm like, oh, I've never seen that before. You could make an argument Josh Allen could be a number one pick. He's 6'6 and has a rocking arm. I wouldn't have picked him number one, but you could argue it. Justin Herbert. Kid's a rock. He's got a monster arm, a four-point biology student. With Baker, I always said, he's a second, third-round pick. People said, Drew Brees is his comp. Drew was a second-round pick, and he ain't Drew Brees. Tua's got some Drew Brees. Leadership, accuracy, commitment, maturity. Tua's got a little Drew Brees. Then Drew Brees. But Mary Kay Cabot saying today is basically, she's not a columnist. She's a reporter. Like you got to beat somebody besides the Bengals. If after last week, when he looked overwhelmed, there are those now that question, this is the Trubisky situation, where they didn't believe in Trubisky, and they told you they loved him, but they wouldn't pick up his extension. They're like, no. You know, trust people's actions, not their words. And by the way, if you look, John Dorsey, remember when he picked him, and I didn't buy into this. He said, I like his swagger. Swagger is a negative unless you're great. Cam Newton and Andrew Luck could have swagger. But what do you call a guy with swagger with no game? You call him a poser. Swagger is totally overrated. Joe Burrow could have swagger. You watch, you're like, okay, you go buy into that stuff. Mookie Betts could have swagger. You can't have swagger as a double-A shortstop, if that's what you are, because then you're a pretender. And I think with Baker, all that swagger, he would have been much better served to be more humble. If Lamar wanted to give you a little swagger, well, you're not going to catch him. So you could yell and scream at him, but you will as you're running and chasing him. Like, the swagger thing, I never bought into that argument. So it's just interesting. Trent Dilfer, by the way, talked about Baker. You know, I'm not jumping off the Baker bandwagon because I was never on it, but here's Dilfer.
I think a lot of people that weren't as high on Baker coming out are starting to see some of their evaluation stuff come to light. He's rushing things. I mean, the pick six is literally a high school mistake. If my quarterback threw it to one robber on an in-breaking route, I'd lose my mind. It can be fixed. I will say this. I'm not moving off of Baker. I think he can be a fantastic rhythm quarterback in the NFL if he's willing to learn these things, grow his physical confidence, and the system supports the type of player he needs to be.
Yeah. Again, I'm not jumping off it. I've never been on it. But at this point, I wouldn't pick up his extension. All right. Now is a great time every week because, you know, I see myself as a little bit of a soothsayer. You know, I take the American anxiety and I bring down and offer wisdom, and I feel like I'm hosting a class for the next 15 minutes. I'm making America smarter. I don't know. I bring in one of my students, Joel Klatt, the voice of college football for Fox Sports. Former, by the way, preferred walk-on for Colorado that set all their records, so at least he has the guile and toughness I prefer.
I tell you what, did you notice how slowly I walked on the stage today? I didn't have any swagger coming up here.
I love that.
There you go.
Now, let me stop this. I'm hearing a lot of this stuff.
A lot of what stuff? Let's hear it.
Oh,
come
on. Mac Jones, Alabama. He's the next Joe Burrow.
Okay.
Oh, boy. Those wide receivers at Alabama. They're all NFL wide receivers.
Whoa.
They are good.
Time out. Who was Joe Burrow throwing to last year? I'm sorry. Was he throwing to the Little Sisters of the Poor? No, it was Justin Jefferson and Jamar Chase and Terrace Marshall
good
and
players.
Thaddeus Moth. And he had Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the backfield.
So
he had Joe Brady as a passing game coordinator, an excellent, aggressive coordinator. And that's exactly what Mac Jones has. Maybe even to a greater degree.
So you think Mac Jones is the next Burrow? This Alabama kid.
In my comparison, so yeah, Colin is taking issue with a comparison that I made on social media, and I think he could have a Joe Burrow-esque season 2.0.
Well,
I don't think he's as good as Joe Burrow, but I will say this. He is making some unbelievable throws. He's big.
Well, that one right there gets picked in the NFL.
Oh, okay. Yeah, since you know, because you've taken how many snaps in any pocket? Zero.
Look at that lollipop.
That was a beautiful throw. The throw to Devontae Smith to put him up 41-24 was excellent. Mm-hmm. Bottom line to me is that he's got the tools around him to have one of those seasons that is special and at times remarkable. In particular,
oh, God, that ball's picked in the NFL.
Yeah, but it's not, Colin, because it's man coverage and there's not a safety in the middle of the field. So it depends. How about that throw?
What about that catch?
Your commentary on that throw?
That was a catch.
Over the perfect coverage. I'm sorry that he's so bad. Look at that throw. That's terrible.
Perfect throw over the outside shoulder against
Georgia, who's, by the 24/7 composite, the most talented team in college football. All I'm trying to say is that Mac is having an unbelievable season. Right now, he's ahead of Joe Burrow in rating of what Joe Burrow did last year. He's ahead of him in yards per game. He's ahead of him in completion percentage. Yeah. He's having a Burrow-esque season, in particular when you think of these two guys as kind of middling, average, older quarterbacks in college football. And then all of a sudden, they have this wow splash season. He's doing some things that are remarkable. Did you know? Wouldn't you say Alabama's maybe the most or one of the most storied programs in college football history?
Yeah, of course.
Wouldn't you agree with that? Okay, there's been 7 400-yard passing games in the history of Alabama football.
He's got 5.
He's got 3 of them in the last 3 games.
Right.
So save it with your Mac Jones hate.
Yeah, I was on Burrow from the very beginning.
I bet you were.
Okay.
I bet you were when he was at LSU, when he was transferring.
I loved him.
In fact, I wish we had this tape right now.
Yeah.
I sat here and verbatim, this man, Your soothsayer over here said, and Joey, you'll remember this. He said, "If you can't beat out Dwayne Haskins, then I don't think I'm not going to waste a pick on you." And you criticized Burrow for having to transfer from Ohio State to LSU after you realized that he did transfer from Ohio State to LSU. I know this is embarrassing, but these are facts, folks. Facts do not care about Colin's feelings at this point.
Hey.
He said all of those things about Burrow. Do not let him trick you into thinking that he was some sort of train engineer tooting his way down the Joe Burrow train, because that was not happening.
What? I offered a little sense of humor in the show. One of us can laugh occasionally.
Well, you just bring up falsities, I have to pounce.
When you get opportunities.
Well, yes, that's right.
So Ohio State, I went to, okay. I like mock drafts. A lot of NFL execs rely on me to give them information later as we get closer. So I am into mock drafts.
You're
totally. I'm a total nerd. With my Goulet's been dealing with this for a decade. It's all I do at night.
I love it.
Ohio State's got five guys going in the first round. And I think to myself, well, Harbaugh ain't beating him this year.
Is this
Now, last year, all you guys, you know, were saying, oh, it's the best team ever. The biggest bet I've ever made in college football, I took Clemson over Ohio State. I went public on it. I said, the best Big Ten team ever is not beating Clemson, so I don't want to hear that. I thought they were good last year. But there are whispers that Ohio State's better this year than last year.
I'm not sure yet. Offensively, I think that they can
be. Justin Fields, a year older.
He's a year older. He's got an incredible offensive line in front of him. They have to replace J.K. Dobbins, who is an incredible running back, right? But they get Trey Sermon, the transfer from Oklahoma, and they have Master Teague, a highly rated player that's been in their program. And they, by the way, they signed four of the top 10 or 15 wide receivers in the country last year. And that's to pair with a guy in Garrett Wilson who was a five-star. Chris Olave, who's turned into an absolute star. They're going to be an unbelievable offense. You know, questions remain about their defense, though. Let's be honest.
Well, no.
You got to replace Okuda and Chase Young, Damon Arnett, Fuller in the back end.
You know what's really interesting about this? And you'll like my all these
we'll
power.
See. You always say you'll like this.
You'll really like this. And this is where I feel like wisdom. So Alabama, Ohio State, and Clemson have mostly been known. And let's just stick with Bama and Ohio State historically. They run the ball defense. They have both programs have brilliantly pivoted. I think Alabama now, I'm like, it's all receivers. It was corners 4 years ago. Is that Ohio State and Alabama, very smart. They have pivoted. They are getting unbelievable. It used to be, it's hard when you're a traditional power. Like I always give the Pittsburgh Steelers and Mike Tomlin credit. Like, to go to Pittsburgh and say, now we're going to be a passing team.
Sure.
This is what we are now. We're going to throw 60 times. That's what Andy Reid did in Philadelphia. He got pushback. It's a blue-collar town.
That's right.
And he's like, no, it's third and one I'm throwing. Well, and Ohio State and Alabama, the quality of receivers is insane.
So you would argue that, like, necessity is the mother of all invention, right? Well, in football, losses are the mother of all invention. Guys do not move away from their tried and true blueprint unless they lose.
That's a good one by you.
And I would argue that the JT Barrett Ohio State playoff team a few years ago that got trounced by Clemson in the Fiesta Bowl and it wasn't close, that's when it started to be like, okay, we can't just be the quarterback-oriented spread team of the Tim Tebow Florida years and then the early Ohio States. We can't just do that and win championships. When Deshaun Watson and Clemson beat Alabama in a shootout, Nick Saban's like, okay, maybe we can't, against teams like that who have equal talent to us, just play defense and run the football like we did against Texas when Colt McCoy was injured to win a national championship, or against the Manti Te'o Notre Dame team to win a national championship. Losses are the mother of all invention and progress in football. And you see that even Bill Belichick has had to win Super Bowls with several different styles of teams, defensive-oriented, running-oriented, passing-oriented. And now you're seeing some of these programs, these blue bloods, and maybe more specifically Nick Saban, they've had to morph, change, progress into a team that can go and win a shootout against five-star recruits. Like, for instance, last week, Alabama is down 24-20 in the last 5 minutes of the third quarter. Okay, Georgia's playing well, with their short quarterback, and they're playing really well. In the span of 5 minutes, the game completely changed. Guess what it changed on?
Deep balls.
Great quarterback play, great wide receiver play. One team had it, the other didn't.
Yep.
Okay, so it was a couple of plays for Georgia. They miss them, and all of a sudden, Alabama capitalizes with what? The deep ball. The extraordinary talent on the outside. So I think that those two games, Clemson has single-handedly changed the blue bloods in this sport because they, Dabo Sweeney, went out there and beat up JT Barrett's Ohio State team under Urban Meyer in a playoff. And Ohio State knew, hey, we got to change. We got to do something. Yeah. They bring in Ryan Day. They get better throwing the football. And then Deshaun Watson's teams beat Alabama in the national championship game. And Nick Saban's like, you know what? I'm going to have to win a shootout. Ole Miss is doing it to me.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to win a shootout.
Yeah. Your best 3 minutes ever on the show. Let's get back to me. So.
That's such a good line.
Let's.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't want to pick on Nebraska. So I look at, here's how I look
yes,
at the
you do.
No, I don't. No,
don't preface it.
They're very,
it.
Listen,
like, if
I have
you just
a lot
bring
of,
up Iowa, any like listen, Midwestern team,
no.
Go ahead, be like, just puff your chest out and be who you are.
No.
Don't
I
apologize
have a
for being who you are.
A lot of friends who are farmers.
You're a listen. Coastal elitist. Just be proud of it. You talked about, hey, no winter, only winners in LA. Just be yourself. Come
okay,
on.
Okay,
come
Nebraska
on.
Stinks.
There you go.
The point being, we have to be reasonable now.
Okay. With Nebraska.
No. We've got 3 to 4 programs in this country that are different. And you pointed out this last week. Bama's different. Clemson's different. Ohio State's different. And it's usually...
Maybe Georgia.
That's
right
what I think.
There.
Georgia yeah. or LSU will stock up. Okay?
Yeah. Okay.
Then everybody else, Michigan, Nebraska, Notre Dame. These are good, proud programs. But when I watch Michigan play Ohio State, and I'm going to watch Ohio State play Nebraska this weekend. These are proud programs. It's a different sport.
Yeah, they're not close right now.
Not even
Michigan. And I don't even think Nebraska is close to Michigan, to be honest.
Right.
To be fair, to Michigan. But Michigan is not at this juncture close to Ohio State. Let me just give you a quick stat. This will show you the gap between Ohio State and everybody else in the Big Ten. There are 20 players in the Big Ten Conference overall that were 5-star recruits right now, currently, okay,
yes.
on rosters.
Let me guess.
Okay.
So there's 20
five-star recruits in all of the Big Ten.
I bet you Ohio State has 16.
14. Close. Very close. 14 of 20. Like, you look at it in the ACC. The ACC has 15 total five-star recruits in their conference as we currently talk here today. Guess how many play at Clemson? 11. Right? The gap between Clemson and the ACC
yeah.
and Ohio State and the rest of the Big Ten is monumental, right? It's so large right now. And Nebraska, unfortunately for them, Scott Frost, when he got to Nebraska,
yeah.
Well, I think what everyone's starting to realize is that this was a way bigger rebuild than anyone imagined.
He
this
had
is
better
a
talent.
Foundational rebuild.
He had better talent in his small Florida school.
That's right. 100%.
Like,
he had better
look,
talent and speed, in particular on defense. Some of them are in the NFL
yes.
right now. Shaq Griffin
yeah.
and the like at UCF when they went undefeated and hung a championship banner. His rebuild right now in Nebraska, and part of it is, by the way, Nebraska panicked and they got outside of their identity. That's a problem for a program. I talk about Wisconsin always having success because they know who they are.
Yeah.
Nebraska chased it with Bill Callahan, and then,
yeah.
I mean... It got
you gotta know who you
it
are.
It got messy with Nebraska.
Voice of college football, Joel Klatt, he and Gus Johnson. Jenny, of course, going to be there for Nebraska and Ohio State.
Yeah.
Two things now. Let's focus on this.
I've got a good almost upset. I've got a really good close game.
So Joy and I found a huge disagreement.
Oh, I side with Joy.
Can I present it?
So I mean,
Trevor Lawrence,
help,
once a decade, we get a player at the most important position. John Elway was that player. And John's like, no, I'm not playing for you. I'm not playing. Eli did it from American royalty, Manning family. I'm not playing for you. John Elway and Eli have Super Bowls. Trevor Lawrence says, I ain't going back to Clemson. Jets, you haven't earned my respect. I'm not going to you. I totally support the kid.
I completely support him for pulling any leverage that he can because, and this is what you failed miserably to explain in your Baker Mayfield rant before I came on, is that fit matters, right? Like, fit matters. Where you're going to, is there stability in the coaching staff? Is there stability in the front office? Because you can be a really good player to great player, and it's really tough to overcome those things.
Oh, tough?
That's why.
It's virtually impossible.
Andrew Luck had success right away in Indianapolis because of two things. He was great, historically great as a prospect, and that was a good organization that was coming right off on the Manning area. It was Manning's neck.
Then they made a couple of mistakes.
It was the reason they were in the position that they were, right? So if I was Trevor Lawrence, so I hate it if this means that I'm agreeing with you, I would pull any leverage that I had to try to end up in the most advantageous place I could if I was him.
Boy, really going out on a limb on that one. Jeez. Luis.
Was that different from you? You want him to just go
play?
No,
I don't think he should just go to the Jets. I think he should explore his options. But I do think it's a different world than Elway's NFL and the Manning's
NFL. Well, one of us is pro-employee. If you want to stick up for the corporations, go ahead. That's not how I roll. Finally.
Well, think about it. The guy should be in the NFL right now. He's a starter right now.
He would have been the number one pick 2 years ago.
This league, the NFL, it's not the NCAA, by the way, folks. This league prevents him from earning a living. It's not the NCAA. It's the NFL. The collective bargaining agreement between the Players Association and the NFL banned players from coming into the NFL before a certain date, their birthday, okay? It's the NFL. Bottom line is, if they're going to ban you from earning a living until a certain point and you have any leverage going into that league, pull it.
Finally, let's go. Now, again, audience, I call upsets. This is what I do for a living. Courage. Joel gives you one that, it could get a little close.
I mean, we're trying to play coy. I'm giving you dogs that'll cover. Do you want me to spell it out? Do you want me to spell it out now? Now, we've lost our cover, Goulet. The almost upset
what
was
is
a
it?
Fun little deal. Pitt's getting 11, number one rush defense in the country against a Notre Dame team that's really struggling throwing the football. They struggled against Louisville. They didn't throw it very well. They had to run it basically the entire second half against a Pitt team that's given up well under, I think it's under 80 yards per game.
Do you know, I don't criticize.
I give you covers out there. Jeez. Why do you have to make it?
We should be sponsored by Fox Bet. So I met Ian Book's dad. Notre Dame quarterback's
dad. Do you
want
me to come shake your hand?
No, I'll tell you, I met him, and we had a very good conversation.
What was it about?
About football. We talked X's and O's and schematics.
Did you?
Yeah.
What did you talk about?
We just talked about some
your mock draft?
Ins and outs and flag patterns and
flag
bubble,
patterns.
Bubble screens.
You know the last time I heard anything called a flag pattern?
All right, Klatt, get on a plane and go. You and Gus and Jenny have a great time with that game.
We will.
Noon, we Fox. Will. All right, let me read this. Saturday, noon, Fox, Nebraska.
That's all I have to say every week. Saturday, noon, Fox. That's where I'll be.
Great seeing you, buddy. Okay, I got to take a break here and read a spot because the show, no shock, is jam full of ads.
I'm sure it is.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
World Series continues tonight with Game 2 between the Rays and Dodgers. It all starts at 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific on Fox and the Fox Sports app.
So Dodgers ace goes not tonight, but tomorrow night. Bueller. So he goes, so tonight is a Rays better pick up a win tonight because the Dodgers send their ace out in Game 3. The guy that's smoking, throws heat, big heat. Joy with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News, sponsored by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing.
Well, the Steelers and Titans play on Sunday in an incredible game,
yes.
Game of the undefeateds. Derrick Henry has been an absolute terror, and Steelers coach Mike Tomlin completely understands the feelings towards the Tennessee running back.
There are people that are intimidated by him, and those, there are tangible things to be intimidated by. You know, this is like Bud Dupree running the football. You know, this guy gets into your secondary. It's like trying to tackle a guy like Bud, except he's faster, obviously. Hopefully we minimize the amount of time that our guys are in those circumstances. And hopefully when our guys are in those circumstances, they do what they have to do. They do what the job requires them to do.
By the way, you know how the networks, one of these networks, I forget which one, said, Drew Brees, we're going to hire you as a broadcaster. Who was it? NBC. So Fox, call Mike Tomlin, say, listen, when you're done coaching, and it may be in 9 years, we're going to hire you as a broadcaster.
Yeah.
Nobody... He is the best I've ever, he and Gruden are the best I've ever seen. They're funny without trying to be. They're characters. And in literally, this is the hardest thing to do in football as an announcer. In 9 seconds, they can make an unbelievable point. It's like tackling Bud Dupree. It's like, that is funny.
And he's totally right. I mean, Derrick Henry is 6'3", 247 pounds, runs completely upright, is faster than cornerbacks. I mean, I can't, there's few things like in football life I would not want to do. Like, I wouldn't want to have to run away from Lawrence Taylor. I would not want to try and have to tackle Derrick Henry. Like, yeah. It just, he's just on another level. He's playing as well as he was playing last year. I know there was some thought going into this year that they used him so much last year. Like, is it going to be any drop off? Nope. 264 rushing yards, 2 touchdowns in the overtime win against the Texans, and had the game tying touchdown, as well as a 94-yard touchdown run. He's 6'3", 247 pounds. No one could catch him. He's just unbelievable, and I'm concerned for the Steelers, and obviously so the Steelers
now,
are
now,
as well, but
Titans,
that's going to be a great game.
Titans left tackle's out, I think. Taylor Lewin's out. So that That is a huge break.
That is significant.
It's a big deal. That's a real negative for the Titans. Their left tackle, Pro Bowl level guy, is out. This is the last team in the league you want your left tackle out against. Like that. That is a the Browns have a talented young left tackle. He got overwhelmed. Overwhelmed by Pittsburgh.
So the Giants will face off against the Eagles this Thursday night. And Giants head coach is from Philly, and he is fully ready for the reception that he will receive from the Philly faithful.
I'll probably wear a helmet, too, because my in-laws are already buying batteries. So, you know, it's to be honest with you, it's not my first time going back to Philly as an opposing coach. It's a great city. It's got great, passionate fans. It's an excellent team. It's obviously a great rivalry. I grew up watching these games. Again, you're so focused on the opponent, the emotion doesn't really get tied into it. We just know we've got a heck of a team we got to match up
against. By the way, not great teams, interesting game. Because the Giants are getting – Giants have a real defense, and they're getting better every week. And the Eagles now are getting – I think they're getting a little healthier. So this is an interesting game. Not great teams, but sometimes – you know, Rams, Niners, are they great? There's stuff to be learned in the NFL. This could be a really – because the winner of this, my gut feeling, wins the division.
Well, yeah, it's a divisional matchup. Yeah. And this division is very much still up for grabs. So it's a very important game on top of it being a standalone game. You know, they're 1-5, Joe Judge and the Giants, and Philly's 1-4-1. As you mentioned, they are getting a couple pieces back from their ridiculous list of injuries, but the Giants got their first win last week against Washington, so they're trending in the right direction. They will kick off Thursday from Lincoln Financial Field. Coverage begins at 7:30 Eastern on Fox and streaming on Amazon Prime Video.
Love Thursday games.
Yes. So it was reported by NFL Network's Jane Slater yesterday that players are unhappy with the Cowboys coaching staff, and Mike McCarthy responded to that criticism last night.
I've always stated this to every team that I've coached. I think it's important to handle things as men. I mean, if you do have something to say publicly that is... Of most importance, I think it's important to say it to the individual, particularly in a group dynamic setting, and especially in the game of football, especially for the Dallas Cowboys.
Why do things get out?
Because people want them out. The media does not have the ability to extract information. We can't force you to talk. People come and talk to us because they want their message out. And when people talk, be it the White House or a football team, they don't trust the man in charge. That's why stuff gets out when people want it out, because they don't trust the leader.
Or because they have an agenda, and either one of those work in this situation, because Cowboys players don't want to be blamed. Players are playing for their next year, for their next job, every time they go out onto the field.
Yeah.
They don't want to be blamed for what's going on in Dallas any more than Mike McCarthy wants to be blamed for what's going on in Dallas. The problem in Dallas, as it had always been, is that it's culturally built the wrong way. If players know that Mike McCarthy, to Peter King's point, or I'm sorry, Dave Wansap's point, if players know that really the buck stops with Jerry and not with the head coach, there is no structure there. Like, there's no fear, there's no anxiety that my head coach is the man in charge. If I talk about him, there's going to be consequences. If I let things leak from the locker room, there's going to be consequences. If you look at organizations that are well run, are there leaks? No. Are there companies that are well-run? Are there leaks? No. To your point, White Houses that are well-run, are there leaks? No, because there's no value in letting information out. You're in a good position. Everyone's winning. You have a collective goal, and things are falling apart in Dallas. Like that, a story like that does not get out unless things are absolutely falling apart from the inside. Now, I will say, I don't think this happens if Dak is healthy and playing, even if they're playing badly. Because Dak is the leader of that team.
Yeah, that's fair.
Dak is always saying the right thing at the podium, and he is keeping things together. And this wasn't happening when Dak was healthy and playing. So I do think that plays a role in things falling apart.
No, and I think if you respect, Dak has so much respect. And in the locker room, if you're calling out the team, you're calling out Dak as part of it. That's a good point. Yeah, that is true. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Lie News.
It's just such a great time right now in sports. The World Series game 2 tonight was, I'd love to see the number last night. I bet you the number's pretty darn good. It wasn't a close game, but the Dodgers have so many stars. Nick Swisher, who rolls out of bed and knocks down a 12-pack of Red Bulls. Mr. Energy, the former Yankee, is going to be joining us next on the World Series game 2 tonight in Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Played 12 years in the bigs, most notably for the A's and the Yankees. Also played for the Indians, the Braves, and the White Sox. He's one of my favorite guests. We get to bring him on three or four or five times a year. A former Ohio State Buckeye. He loves his college football, and he loves his baseball, and he is now joining us live. Nick Swisher in Tampa. World Series champ and all-star with the Yankees. Okay.
What's up, Colin? How you doing, baby?
Joy and I were talking. Nick, Mookie Betts is like a 1978 baseball player. He is manipulating the game. He is get on, steal. It's a throwback player. I mean, there were guys that tried to be him, but when I watch him, the Dodgers have been good for years. What, as a player, have you ever played on a good team and you put somebody else into the organization and he just added juice like Mookie has for the Dodgers?
Big time. Yeah. BYOJ. No, bring your own juice. No doubt. I feel like Mookie Betts has brought so much to the Los Angeles Dodgers, not only on the field, but I think you really have to notice the thing that he's done in the locker room. Right now you have Clayton Kershaw, right, who's been the cornerstone of the organization. Now all of a sudden you bring over Mookie Betts, an MVP, one of the biggest contracts in baseball, and he's lived up to it. He has done everything the Los Angeles Dodgers have asked of him, and he is so excited to be there. From an ex-player to a current player, someone that signs a long-term contract, the only thing you want for them is to be happy, and he is happy. Look at the smile on his face, and it is definitely showing in the way he's playing the game of baseball right now, big time.
Yeah, and by the way, his defense is the reason they're in this World Series. Now, if you're the Dodgers, and I saw a little bit of this last night, one of the reasons I like this series to go longer, the Dodgers bullpen has to be concerning. Last night, bases loaded, 8-3, and you're sitting there thinking, okay, it's going to bust it open. So is the Dodgers, all their talent, because they have more high-end players than Tampa, is their bullpen such a liability that Tampa will use that to win the series, in your opinion?
No, I don't. I have the Dodgers winning this series at 6, and this is the reason why. The Los Angeles Dodgers bullpen, who has struggled, is not going up against the Atlanta Braves, the powerful Atlanta Braves lineup with Ronald Acuna Jr. and Freddie Freeman and Marcell Ozuna. No, they're not doing that. They're going up against a Tampa Bay Rays offense with Brandon Lau, who is really struggling, and Kevin Kiermaier, who's hitting around the Mendoza line. So I don't think the offense the Rays have is as daunting as the Braves. So this is where I feel like the Los Angeles Dodgers have the advantage, even though that is the Achilles of them. I mean, I saw in Game 7, just like you did, Colin, I thought Kenley Jansen was going to come in to shut that game, but Julio Urías stayed in the game to shut that down. So I definitely think Dave Roberts has some question marks about who he's going to use at the end of the game. But because Clayton Kershaw went 6 innings in Game 1, that bullpen is completely rested and excited and ready to get back on the mound.
Let's talk about Clayton. He was very good last night, threw the ball past guys last night. A lot of guys swing and miss. So, there's a narrative out there. He's Sandy Koufax, but not great in the postseason. How much of it's real? How much of it is just a good story? Did you play with guys? I mean, listen, we both love A-Rod, but A-Rod had some bad postseasons and bad series. Sometimes stars, it gets into their head. There's a ton of pressure. Do you trust Kershaw in a big spot?
I mean, from watching the way he pitched last night and the way that he's pitched this regular season, absolutely I do, and this is why. Listen, Clayton Kershaw is a 200-inning guy. He is considered a horse. He is considered a guy that takes the ball every fifth day. That's just who he is. That's what he's done his entire career. We didn't play 162 games this year. We only played 60. So think about that. Think about Clayton Kershaw's health at the end of a 60-game postseason rather than the end of his health at the end of a 162-game postseason. So I think with where he is right now, I think he looked the best I've seen him all year long last night. I mean, bro, I woke up this morning. I was like, man, I need back spasms, bro. Because if you're going to look that good coming back from an injury like that, his command on the mound. I mean, bro, he's got his playoff beard going right now. He's got his flow all out the side of his hat. Clayton Kershaw is in the zone right now. And by the way, yes, you're right. The narrative is completely real. But it's almost like we have to write off. It's like he has to pitch great in the postseason for us to believe he's a Hall of Famer. I don't think that's a case. I think he's a Hall of Famer as is. But if and when the Dodgers do win this World Series, Clayton Kershaw, first ballot Hall of Famer.
Yep. So one of the things that Joey and I have complained about baseball is when I grew up, I watched Al Roboski and Charlie Hustle, Pete Rose, and Reggie Jackson, and they were huge characters. Mark Fidrich, Ozzie Smith would be flipping, going out to shortstop.
Yeah, yeah.
So I like that. I'm a big – I think sports are entertainment. And I have to be entertaining. Players have to be entertaining. The reality is we're not data. We're not numbers. We're people. But baseball over the last 10 years has gotten pretty rigid. They don't want you to stare at home runs. And then this postseason happened. And everybody's throwing bats. And I got to tell you, I think it's way more entertaining on television. When you watch the Braves, the Dodgers, what is your takeaway? Because you got a little old school in you, but you got a little new school in you.
100%, bro. I got the old school philosophy, but I got the new school chains, bro. The whole nine, dude. You know what, man? I think this is great. It feels like a little league game when I'm watching it, right? Like, hey, by the way, I've heard two sides of this. Number one, if you don't want to see me dance, don't let me in the end zone. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But at the other side, you know, I can understand. Like, hey, people may think it's trying to show somebody up, but that's not it, bro. I believe in the philosophy. You got to be you, man. I'm an emotional guy. Sports are emotional, right? There's a lot of emotion that goes into it. Hey, I'm just jealous I didn't get to do Colin because, hey, bro, if I was doing that, I'd be flipping my bat in the stands, bro. I'd be like, souvenirs for everybody, bro. You know what I mean? So I think it's great for the game. And right now, we're in a world that's evolving, right? We have to evolve as well. We can't stay stuck in the game of baseball. We need to catch up with the times. And being able to let these guys celebrate and be themselves, let their personality shine through, bro. I could not be more in favor of it.
So you won the World Series with the Yanks in 2009, and I'm looking at that ring behind you.
Oh, you seen that ring? This one right here?
Yeah. So I want
this guy. This guy right here.
Oh my God.
That one.
So give me a memory. give me a story about that year, because I think a lot of people in Los Angeles, they've gone through this struggle. And you think Dodgers and Yankees, and they got a lot of payroll. But the difficulty in winning World Series when you're the Yankees or the Dodgers, there's a lot of pressure.
Tell me
a story about that World Series, about the pressure you faced that year before you overcame it and won the series.
Well, I mean, for me personally, bro, I mean, it was an up and down series for me. I mean, I got benched game two, right? I didn't even play. So to be able to come back game three and help the team win was awesome. But this is why I think Mookie Betts is so important in that Los Angeles Dodger locker room. For me, as a 2009 New York Yankee, I had the Derek Jeters to look up to, the Mariano Riveras, the Andy Pettits, the Posadas, the A-Rods, the Hideki Matsuis. I had those veterans in the locker room that could calm the storm. When I was feeling too out of sync, those guys could bring me back. You have to have leaders in your locker room for when the times are good and when the times are bad. And believe me, man, the winning is part of the Los Angeles Dodgers DNA, just like it is the New York Yankees DNA. And having guys in the locker room like the Mookie Bettses of the world and the Clayton Kershaws of the world, even Jock Peterson, a huge leader on that squad, having those guys in the locker room helps these guys get through the times. Can you imagine being down 3-1, the mighty Dodgers, and to be able to come back from that? Their confidence and the way they feel about themselves is so high right now that I mean, I just want to go in that locker room to feel the love that they all have for each other right now, because I was able to experience it in 09 and hold that trophy over your head. And there's no better feeling in sports than being able to be called a champion.
Nick Swisher, Fox Sports baseball analyst. Man, you got energy. How much do you sleep a night? Like, I'm not a big sleeper. Are you a big sleeper?
Oh, bro. Nah. Well, hey, man. Not very long, but I sleep hard, baby. I sleep hard.
Okay. That's okay.
I'm down, bro.
Love your energy. Good seeing you, buddy.
You got it, my man. Hi, Joy. I didn't get a chance to say hi to Joy. Tell her I said what's up.
Hi, Nick. How are you?
Nick Swisher.
I'm doing great. Thank you.
2009 World Series ring and all-star. And no, Mookie Betts is incredible. Check engine light comes on. Don't freak out. There's no reason. Get a warranty when yours ends. It's called carshield.com, code HERD. Save 10%. A deductible may apply. Yeah, I was watching it last night, as I told you earlier, and there's an intensity and a drama. And the Dodgers are just flawed enough in the back end of their bullpen. They're just flawed enough to make it interesting. If they had, you know, the Yankees were different. You always knew when the Yankees were great, like Goulet would tell you, if you got the lead, you won. If you went into the eighth with a lead, it was over. The Yankee struggles were in the third to the seventh to the eighth inning. With the Dodgers, they're great until the eighth, and then it's like you're kind of making it up. You're kind of like Clayton Kershaw last night. You're kind of making it up. You're doing whatever you can do, and it's just flawed enough to make the Dodgers just vulnerable enough, because they do have the better team in this World Series. They have more elite players. It's October. What does that mean? GEICOween. Don't be spooked by high rates on car insurance. Get a quote today at geico.com. We are packed. Jonathan Vilma, Fox Sports, former Super Bowl champ. Jane Slater joins us from Dallas, breaking stories yesterday on dysfunction with the Cowboys. Hour 3 next.